The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
No need to hold the line when you go online. Visit aviva.ie.
Now, Irish troops were recently caught up in a drone attack on a village in southern Lebanon. Although the vehicle holding the six Irish troops was damaged, all troops emerged unscathed. But as those tensions continue to rise between Israel and Lebanon, people have begun to question the role of peacekeeping troops in Lebanon and what would happen to them if there was an all-out war. Dr. Cathal Berry is independent TD for Kildare South and is a retired Army Ranger. He's with me now. Cathal, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Let's understand why they're there first.
So it's basically governed under UN Security Council Resolution 1701, and there's three main roles. First of all, to observe and report, so to provide very accurate information back to Dublin and UN headquarters in New York. Secondly, for protection of civilians. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, is to provide this key buffer zone along the blue line, which is the de facto international frontier between Lebanon and Israel, to separate the parties, basically, Hezbollah and the Israeli Defence Force, to make it less likely for a conflict to emerge.
How wide is that buffer zone?
It's about 15 kilometres. It varies. So the full border is about 120 kilometres long, and the Irish battalion are responsible for 14 kilometres of that. So our troops are right up at the front line. But their main role at the moment is very, very important. It's to prevent the current conflict that's been going on for the last 10 months from getting into an escalatory spiral. So they're trying to contain this conflict to provide that breathing space for a diplomatic and political
solution. So in theory, in this buffer zone, no military activity is supposed to take place.
In theory. So what's happening at the moment is both Hezbollah and the Israeli Defence Force are lobbing shells and rockets and missiles at each other, but there's very little direct contact between their fighters with small arms fire.
And when they do land in the wrong place, in other words, in the buffer zone, is that put down to kind of dodgy equipment and not very accurate aiming, or is it malign?
Well, it's both, but as a general rule, it's deliberate. I mean, the targeting of the building next to the Irish troops last Saturday night, that was a deliberate targeting of the building, probably an incidental appearance of the Irish troops there. That was just incidental, but the building was deliberately targeted for sure, and that's what's going on at the moment as well. So the Irish troops out there, they're part of a 10,000 troop international mission called UNIFIL, and it involves 43 different countries. So it's an international.
Now, how important endeavor. Is that observe and reporting mission? Because you think nowadays with satellites you can see everything from the sky.
You can see some things from the sky, but the first casualty of war is always truth, and we've seen that being played out over the last 10 months where both sides try to dominate the information space. So it's really, really important that you have very, very dispassionate, accurate and timely information coming back from objective sources like the UN straight back to New York, so that decision makers can have access to accurate information.
Now, the buffer zone itself, I presume many people, ordinary people, live there.
Yes, but not as many anymore. So a lot of them would have moved up towards Beirut. They're displaced people within their own countries as well. Interestingly enough, there's a lot of, about 80,000 Israelis have moved from the southern side of the border as well. They're displaced within Israel. And that's a major focus for the current Israeli government at the moment. A lot of pressure is coming on from that lobbying group. They want to go back to their farms and their kibbutz in northern Israel, but they can't because of the threat of the rockets. So that's a big point of pressure.
And where have they moved to?
They've moved further south. They're still within Israel. They've moved with family and friends, but they're not back in their farms where they should be. And that is a big issue for the Israeli government. That's one of the reasons why they want to settle what they see as their issue on the northern border, either peacefully and diplomatically or by absolutely destroying Hezbollah so that they're no longer a threat to northern Israel.
Now, at what point in any escalation does our presence there become irrelevant?
So it's not futile in any shape or form currently, but the Irish troops are embedded with UNIFIL. As I said, 10,000 troops from 43 different nations. The reality is Ireland will stay in UNIFIL as long as UNIFIL stays. If UNIFIL withdraws, Ireland will withdraw, but if they stay,
The UN wants UNIFIL to continue its operations, the Irish troops will stay.
Absolutely. So UNIFIL has been there since 1978, so nearly 50 years at this stage. It's worth pointing out it has been three Israeli ground invasions of Lebanon in that time. So in 1978, 82 and 2006, and in all those three invasions or ground offensives, UNIFIL stayed in position. One of the main reasons they say is yes, to observe and report, but to reoccupy that position post-conflict would be
very difficult.
Very, very difficult. So it's risky being there, but it's even more risky leaving.
Now, of whom should the troops be more scared? Of the activities of the IDF or the activities of Hezbollah?
Well, they won't be scared about anybody, but they're obviously
wary of
both sides, actually. I think there's about 28 Irish troops have been killed in action in Lebanon. And I think there's almost an even split, 50% from the Arab militias and 50% from the Israeli-backed and the Israeli defence forces as well. So to answer your question, it's a very even split. All armed elements are a threat to United Nations, unfortunately, and not all leaders of the various factions have full control over their militias either.
So we are going to stay put. What do you say to people who feel their family members might be in harm's way?
Yeah, obviously it's a major concern, but I guess the force protection measures are very, very good out there at the moment. Even the vehicles that were involved in that strike about six nights ago, they would be up-armoured Toyota Land Cruisers. So they look very similar to a Toyota Land Cruiser here on a motorway in Ireland. However, if you get very close to them, you can see there's the bulletproof glass is an inch thick. There's armoured plating on the floor. So there's a shell or a crust around the passengers as well. And that's why the vehicles took a bit of abuse and a bit of punishment. There was no injuries or fatalities to our own people. So that's very important.
Now, what happens when the Israelis or the Hezbollah start pegging rocketry and other things at each other? What is the protocol for the troops to keep themselves safe?
Yeah, so basically there's three levels of activity. So to answer your question, our troops out there are very experienced. They know the ground well. The commander and the sergeant major in particular have multiple trips to Lebanon. So they know the operational situation and they adjust or they titrate their activities based on the operational situation. So there's three levels. Level one is just business as usual. But if the tension starts to rise, you go to level two, which means you're confined to camp, confined to base. And level three, then, if there's an active scenario where there's an exchange of fire, they're in their groundhog bunkers and their air raid shelters, basically, for additional protection temporarily.
Okay. How are you reading what's happening there at the moment? I mean, how likely is an escalation?
It's very likely. It's all dependent on what's happening in Doha at the moment. I guess the main pivot point of the entire last 10 months is Gaza. So everything depends on Gaza. If Gaza is settled, or at least temporarily ceasefired, then the situation of the northern border between Lebanon and Israel will quieten down as well. Hezbollah only kicked off because of the situation in Gaza. So UNIFIL and the Irish troops at the moment are containing, keeping a lid on that situation and preventing it from spiralling out of control. And to give that breathing space for what's happening in Doha. So in Doha at the moment, there's mediators from Qatar, from the US and from Egypt. And they're sitting down with the Israelis and they're sitting down indirectly with Hamas as well. And if a temporary ceasefire can be struck in the number of days, then hopefully we can expand on that and have a full-time settlement.
To give us a sense of the size of the various potentially warring parties, I mean, the IDF, we know how strong militarily they are. How big is Hezbollah as a force?
Yeah, very big. So it's a completely different proposition than Hamas. It's three times bigger than Hamas in terms of both weaponry and in terms of fighters. But not only that, as Hamas was kind of pigeonholed into a small enclave called the Gaza Strip, as most people would be aware, but Hezbollah have free rein throughout Lebanon into Syria and Iraq. So it's a completely different picture. And Hezbollah is obviously heavily armed and supported by the Iranian regime.
So a serious fighting force.
Yeah, Hezbollah is the largest non-state military force in the world.
Yeah. And yet it's kind of peculiar because they're involved in the governing of Lebanon and yet they're not the Lebanese army.
Correct. So there's a military, political dimension to it as well, which is very, very complex. So a lot of the state apparatus in Lebanon is completely dysfunctional at the moment. They're still suffering from the spillover from the Syrian civil war 10 years ago. A third of the population of Lebanon are actually Syrian refugees at the moment.
Extraordinary. Cathal Berry, Independent TD for Kildare South, retired Army Ranger. Cathal, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.